First in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
You're listening to Karen Cataline as a regular guest host of the nationally syndicated Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network.
Well, actually, it's Karen Cataline filling in for Alan today, and what a pleasure it always is when my schedule allows. Happy to be in the stable of the Main Street Radio Network, and we are going to open today's show with our very first guest. So much going on. It's like drinking from a fire hose. And here to talk about our very first issue is AJ Bruno, political and media strategist. He's vice president of AMWPR. Previously, he's worked as a state director on Michelle Bachmann's presidential campaign and contributed to outlets such as The Hill, Red State, and The Washington Examiner. Welcome, AJ Bruno, the very first guest out of the box on the Alan Nathan Show.
Hi, Karen. Great to talk to you.
Great to talk to you too. It just gives me no pleasure to have to talk about what's been going on in this country, but unfortunately, we've been doing it for a long time, and these things that are supposedly called campus protests, I don't think they're campus protests. I think they are set up to be propaganda machines. So much we've heard and so much that went unreported that only you could get from alternative news sources, like masses of identical green tents and who actually funded these so-called protests where people were chanting death to America as well as calling for the genocide of Jews. We'd love your thoughts, and I'm going to give you a broad berth and just tell us what you think and what do you think is really going on here?
Yeah, I mean, what we're seeing, I think, is nothing less than just a grandiose display of anti-Semitism. All these, so-called protesters, what exactly are they protesting against? They're not talking about Hamas, the real terrorists here, the people who committed a horrendous crime and massacres, murdered 1,200 plus people out of nowhere. There's no condemnation about that, but they're condemning Israel for defending itself and not Hamas, who uses their own people as human shields. The thinking here is just so backwards and warped. You have to think that there's more to this. As for who's backing this, look, it goes to show you how much anti-Jew hatred still exists. The people who are propping it up, the people who are participating in this, it's disturbing on so many levels. And frankly, anyone participating in this should be expelled. We shouldn't have people like this in a civilized society. And anyone backing it should be exposed, because I'm beyond disgusted that this sort of thing is occurring in this country these days.
Yes. Well said. And for people who use the idea of free speech, these are people calling for the murder of a total group, a giant group of people. Actually, we, because I am Jewish, not so big, but it is a call for genocide and a call for mass extinction. This past week, the Holocaust Remembrance Day was remembered and not remembered. What I wanted to ask you is, there were videos that came out that showed college students who had absolutely no clue what they were protesting. So in a weird way, I think you give them much too much credit, because the reason they can't back up what they're protesting is they don't even know. All you have to do is set one group up as a victim, which is preposterous after October 7th, and one group as a perpetrator, and the facts don't matter anymore. What say you?
Yeah, that's right. I actually saw another video where they were asking, someone was asking some of these, you know, protesters, when they say from the river to the sea, what do they think that means? They either couldn't answer it, refused to answer it, would say it was self-explanatory. So they didn't want to say outright, or maybe they didn't know, they're ignorant of it, that the phrase means that wipe out Israel and, you know, Arabs take all of what is Israel. I mean, that's what it's advocating for. It's advocating for real genocide.
Absolutely.
And, you know, who knows how many, yeah, who knows how many of them actually know what it means, or they're just saying it because they, I don't know, it's trendy. There's a lot of real ignorance out there.
You know, what's ironic is these are the people that have been lecturing all of us about tolerance and diversity. And now we know that that was just a cover for inciting the very worst, ugliest kind of bigotry and hatred and prejudice. And they don't know it. I will never forget, right after October 7th, I saw a tweet, a person claiming that LGBTQ plus et cetera, are safer in Gaza than they are in Florida. Now, people who believe that will believe anything. This is a tough, big question, AJ Bruno, but how do you break through that level of ignorance that would do anything? They'd jump off a bridge if the left told them to.
You know, I saw a meme that kind of fits that theme. It had a bunch of people holding up a sign that said Queers for Palestine. And below that, there were a bunch of chickens and their sign said Chickens for KFC. So yeah. I think that's kind of kind of the same thing. Look, that's extremely, incredibly ironic because these same kids who support some of these extreme far left social causes, do they not realize that Hamas would kill them for these things, that this is what Islamic fundamentalists would do with people like that? It's just so inconsistent. It makes no sense. And I'm shocked at this because I didn't realize how bad or how stupid people can be. And it really is, as an American, I think we should be concerned that these are the types of people
horrific.
Who are supposed to be entering. Yeah, that's awful.
I just totally lie. There's so many ways to address this, but some of it is just the level of propaganda and lies that are being told in order to create chaos. I mean, in some ways, the left wins either way, because if the truth is told, then there's even more hate and discontent, but the truth must be told. And they win because they're trying to create civil unrest in this country. One of my theories I'll ask you about is that communists have always exploited existing tensions and pre-existing hatreds. Sometimes they were already there and hidden, or they look for fault lines so that they can exploit it. And that's part of what's happening now. There may be, and I don't know, what do you think about that? I mean, we have black against white, old against young, Christian against atheist, if you will. They go after faith, they go after the family, they go after children, all to create horrors so that they can write in and say, oh, you know, we're going to fix it all. All you have to do is hand over your freedom. What do you say?
Yeah, this is one reason why I don't like identity politics, dividing people, or like when people say, Black Lives Matter, which is a communist movement. How about you either believe in American principles, freedom, the Constitution, the sort of values that we're supposed to stand for as a country, regardless of your race, creed, religion, whatever. And then that doesn't, you know, obviously, if you're a communist or somebody who wants a radical social change, you're looking for a way to divide people, to drive a wedge, to cause conflict. These are the types of people that are really causing problems in our society. I think we need more people who are patriots to stand up and say these things that divide us don't matter. And when it comes to things like standing up for Israel, for defending the values, the only democracy, successful country in that region, that is essential. And anybody who believes in what America stands for would do exactly that.
Yeah. You know, bigotry lends itself, I've been saying this for a while, bigotry lends itself to communism. And I wish more people would say that in broader areas. If you reduce people to nothing more than however they were born, their class, their ethnicity, whatever it is, and you lump them all together, you are in effect creating conformity. And conformity is what they really want, is to depersonalize people and destroy individuality. I mean, how many people want to be judged by one aspect of their lives, the one that they were born with? AJ, can you stay? I got some sound to play for everyone. I want to get your thoughts. Can you stay for one more segment?
Sure, you got it.
That'd be great. Well, we do have some sound in the next segment that kind of lays a fine point to what we're talking about, and we'll get AJ Bruno's opinion on that when we get back. This is Karen Cataline filling in for Alan Nathan on the Main Street Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Americans are facing an excess of divisive news and polling, but a new survey from a sausage company shows that we agree on more than you might think. Johnsonville's national temperature check conducted by the Harris Poll found that 80% of Americans are exhausted by the negativity and anger in America, and many are craving connection. Nearly 90% of Americans wish the news and social media were less negative, while 80% agreed that there are people who they miss and want to reconnect with. And importantly, 91% said they don't have to agree with someone on every issue to enjoy a meal together. The survey was done as part of Johnsonville's new Keep It Juicy campaign, which aims to bring back connection, food, and fun. Jamie Schmelzer, Senior Director of Marketing, Johnsonville.
We know the world is full of serious problems sausage can't solve, but this data tells us that lots of people are ready to make more time for fun and togetherness, and that great food makes that easier. We're happy to play our small sausage part in helping that happen.
For more, visit johnsonville.com.
The wildly popular anime series Spy Family has been embraced by fans across the globe. The series, which is available for streaming on Crunchyroll, follows a very unconventional family with some very big secrets. Megan Shipman voices Anya.
In Spy Family, the husband Lloyd is a secret agent, and his wife Yor is a deadly assassin. But neither of them are aware of each other's true identities. The only one who knows is my character, their adopted daughter Anya, who's a telepath.
Now, hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs, and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And we had a slight change at the very end. I'm sorry, I promised you some more with our previous guest, AJ Bruno, and we had a last-minute guest. So we're going to bring him on right now, but I promise you we're going to play at least one, if not two, of those sound bites later on in the hour, so don't miss that. Right now, we have here to join us Dan Franzese, who just signed, who's running for office. We'll hear more about that. Just signed the Redeclaration of Independence. Boy, oh boy, is that ever needed today. Dan Franzese joins us right now on the Alan Nathan Show. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you for having me on your show.
Great. So first, tell us about this redeclaration of independence, and then we'll talk about your campaign.
Sure, sure. So my good friend Barry Hinckley was the architect of this. It's a very traditional statement. As I read it a couple of weeks ago, I started laughing, and I said, frankly, it sounds like one of my campaign speeches. It's emphasizing things like balanced budget, which I'm a big believer in, energy independence, secure borders, term limits, fair trade, and shutting down the Department of Education. I just released a whole statement on that. And I said, this is fantastic. Within minutes of looking at it, I decided I would sign on for it. I encourage anyone who's not familiar with it to take a look at it. The website is very simple. It's redeclaration.org. Couldn't be easier. Redeclaration.org.
It sounds great, but one of the reasons we need it, I'll just cut to that, Chase, is that we have the arsonists in charge of the fire brigade, and we're expecting, you can use that, I made it up a long time ago, we are expecting people in charge to police themselves from the lawlessness that they are engaging in. So there will be no accountability, and declaring is a lot different than enforcing. What do you say about that?
Well, funny enough, I've said often, you can't let the foxes out of the hen house, right? So that's a phrase kind of like yours.
I think
yours.
We're on the same page there.
I think we really are, because you know, one of the things I've advocated is to bring in independent auditors to all the government agencies. And you know, instead of hiring 87,000 IRS officers, let's hire 10,000 independent auditors. And they would say, no, you can't do that. We have our own inspector general. I say, no, you don't. That's where I've come up with the phrase, can't let the foxes audit the hen house. So, but the answer is we got to get the bums out of there. I mean, it's as simple as that. The worst possible people have taken control of our country, and they are deliberately driving it into the ground. They're not incompetent. They know what they're doing. They're doing a full makeover of our country. And I see our country as the greatest success story in world history. And what have we been doing during most of my lifetime? Trying to undermine all those things. And as I look at this redeclaration, it's a back to basics kind of thing. Get back to the Constitution. Get back to the things that made our country great. And we have to win this next election cycle, or our country is in serious danger.
Well, it's no secret that many people today do not trust any longer our elections. All you have to do is look at the election interference that is being done on a regular basis to the only person that is a threat in this election to the current regime, and that's Donald Trump. I mean, it's all being done in plain view. How can any fair-minded person, and there are a lot of unfair-minded people, say that that alone isn't election interference, but the other, oh no, they would never do that. So let's use that as a bridge to get into your campaign. What do you think about election integrity when you've got thieves and liars and cheats, you know, counting votes? I don't think they're going to count them fairly. What do you say?
Well, on your first point, nothing screams threat to democracy more than, frankly, using the courts to punish your political enemies. So the guy who they say is a threat to democracy is the guy that is really doing it. So the hypocrisy there is off the chart. But truthfully, that's nothing new. And yes, I am concerned about elections. I mean, if it were up to me, we'd go back to hand-counted paper ballots on one day, which is a national holiday. Get rid of the machines, get rid of early voting, get rid of mail-in ballots. I want to get back to the way it used to be done. That would give us transparent elections that we could have confidence in. That's what I'm in favor of.
Yeah, but the people who want to control, the people that are trying to hold power by using every bit of power they have, which is considerable, at their disposal to censor, put down, punish, and unjustly accuse only their opponents, never people who assist them, no matter how criminal they may be. They're not going to go for the, I mean, they push and push and push for mail-in ballots. That's what they want. That's the best way to steal elections, among other reasons. So I understand what you're saying, and I'm pushing only because so many people are frustrated that it seems like we're David and they're Goliath. What do you say?
Well, the mail-in ballots are terrible. I mean, even Jimmy Carter himself said that they are a recipe for fraud. And I've generally been very critical of him. So there you go. I said something nice about him. He was right about on that one point, and that he's been an advocate against it in other countries. I think the way we run our elections is a national disgrace. It makes us the laughingstock. And, you know, there's other countries do it the right way, and we can do it too. And I'm often asked, well, how can you really do hand-counted paper ballots in one day? Well, France does it every time for a national election. And truthfully, I think anything they can do, we can do at least as well. And where do you get the manpower? I say that's easy. Kind of the same way that you draw people into jury pools. And in each precinct, you draw in a few people from each party, and they could get it done very quickly, same day.
We're almost running out of that.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. We're almost running out of time. What are you running for? What's your website? And then we'll talk about redeclaration.org as well.
Sure. So my name again is Dan Franzese. The website is dan4usa.com. The number four works, dan4usa.com. I'm running for Congress in District 22 in Florida, which is Donald Trump's home district in Florida.
Wow.
So I live less than 5 miles from Mar-a-Lago, actually on the same street. So I will be his next congressman. I had a chance to chat with him for about 1 minute last year. He's a hard guy to get hold of, but he encouraged me to keep going and looked me in the eye and said, next time you're going to win. So I'm going to be the president's next congressman.
Is he supporting your campaign? I'm sure you have some other primaries, right? You have primary opponents.
I do have two primary opponents. I'm definitely considered the conservative alternative in the race. And believe it or not, I'm still the only one of the three that has endorsed the president, which I did almost exactly a year ago. I didn't do it because a poll told me to. I did it because I believe in him.
Dan, it's no secret that places like Americans for Prosperity and others claiming to be Republican are trying to sabotage the president, even though he's the nominee. So go figure. Redeclaration.org is the other website you can go to and learn more. Dan Franzese, thank you so much for joining us. Good luck in your campaign.
Well, Karen, thank you, Karen. So great to be on your show. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you. Our pleasure. Great. When we come back, we'll get back to who funded these so-called protests right after this. Don't go.
A new graphic novel for young readers focuses on the importance of being true to yourself. Unhappy Camper, from author Lily Lamott and illustrators Ann Zhu and Sunmi, tells the story of two sisters, one who embraces her Taiwanese culture and one who is indifferent. Claire and Michelle used to be best friends, but now the two sisters couldn't be more different. Michelle is willing to deny her Taiwanese culture to fit in, whereas Claire is proud of who she is. Sensing a rift between the two, their parents send them both off to Taiwanese American summer camp. Ultimately, Michelle must decide to embrace her culture and family or join the popular group at school. Which will she choose? Author Lily Lamott.
This is a heartwarming story about two sisters who learn to accept their differences and rebuild their bond. I hope it will encourage readers to recognize the importance of family and embrace their true selves.
The new graphic novel, Unhappy Camper, is now available wherever books are sold.
Women are the fastest growing group of veterans, and the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs is encouraging them to take care of their mental health. Dr. Jennifer Strauss, National Director of Women and Gender-Related Mental Health at VA, has more.
Adjusting to civilian life and balancing everyday responsibilities after service can be challenging. We know women veterans are resilient, and we know that many women veterans benefit from receiving help to overcome mental health challenges and live their best lives. VA wants you to know that you aren't alone. The Today I Am campaign during May features women veterans sharing their own stories about how their lives improved thanks to mental health treatment.
The veteran stories also highlight some of the many kinds of help available.
VA recognizes the importance of providing resources tailored to meet women's needs, including women-focused clinics, therapy options, and compassionate care for those who have experienced military sexual trauma.
Learn more at maketheconnection.net/MHM.
People do some pretty cool things in their 40s and 50s. Why should saving for retirement be any different? I mean, they go back to college, learn new instruments, start skateboarding. Whoa! Okay, maybe that one's not for everybody, but saving for retirement is. With aceyourretirement.org, you can get on track with your retirement savings no matter your age. Just have a 3-minute chat with Avo, the friendly digital retirement coach from AARP. You'll get personalized recommendations based on your input that are easy to understand and work with your lifestyle. It's quick, easy, and free. Plus, it's sponsored by AARP, so you know they got your back. Snarly move, Dad.
Thanks, sweetie.
So wherever you are in your retirement savings journey, head to aceyourretirement.org and start chatting with Avo today. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy. And I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much, from the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night and every moment in between. It really is so special, and boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny. When I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And I think we have an intro sound, but you know what? I think I'll just go ahead and introduce our next guest, and we will then play this sound. As we have been talking about the pro-Hamas demonstrations, they're not protests. Nobody knows what they're protesting except that they want to, they're calling for the genocide of an entire people. Here to talk about it is co-founder of Common Ground Campus and a member of Human Events Media Group. His latest book is Dissidently Speaking, Change the Words, Change the War. Cannot wait to hear about that. Brent Hamacek joins us right now. Hi, Brent. Good to have you along.
It's good to be here, Karen. Thanks so much for having me as a guest. I'm wondering what the intro was. I can't imagine.
Well, I'm going to just give a quickie and then we'll get into that. But I also want to talk about your book. This is an unidentified protester at George Washington University. Cut number 10, go.
There's only one way. Just like that chant that we enjoy so much, there is only one solution. Intifada revolution. We must have revolution so we can have a socialist reconstruction of the United States of America.
Wow. This is despicable. I apologize for the sound. I didn't know that it was, but you can hear what he's saying. You can hear the connection between socialism and this sudden eruption cannot be underestimated. What do you say, Brent?
Well, I'm, as you would guess by the title of the book, I'm sort of big on language. And one of the problems we have, and I'm very big on trying to challenge use of terms and understandings of them. So when he talks about a socialist revolution for America, and we're tying it to this, you know, it's interesting. If you ask most people to define socialism, they can't do it. They actually don't have a definition. Let me give you one. It's centralized planning, management, and oversight of economic, political, and social activity. That's socialism. There's two different forms of it, but that's what socialism is. So if you were to ask many of the students who are engaged in these activities, whatever you want to call them, on campuses, if you just said to them, hey, are you in favor of the government centrally planning, managing, and overseeing economic, political, and social activity, they would say, no, I don't want that at all. I don't want the government doing that for me. And yet, that's exactly what this voice is calling for. And so I think what's happening on the college campuses, if we want to really strip it down, if we want to boil the carcass and see what's left, is that this is nothing other than young people, in this case, humans in general, being given a chance to behave aggressively and loudly without consequence. Humans don't do well when there's no consequence. We
you
know
think?
This.
Boy, is that ever true.
Right. Yeah. And so here they have this opportunity to unleash the venom that is inside of them. If Freud were here, he'd say the it is loose on our college campuses today. It's loose elsewhere in society as well. But to equate this with socialism sounds interesting until you might ask those students if they want socialism by defining it. I suspect most of them would actually say no.
Well, yeah, if they're thinking at all. I mean, they've been so brainwashed and indoctrinated to believe that a tiny postage stamp of a country that sustained the most bloodthirsty attack, October 7th, in memory, is now suddenly the perpetrator. And you have to wonder, we've seen videos that a lot of these students have no idea what they're protesting. It looks like a big party to them, and they're that dumb that they don't even know what they're there to supposedly support. The question has been asked, who's supporting them? Do you have a sense of that? Who's backing them? We saw masses of green tents that are all the same and pre-printed protest signs. This is orchestrated, and they push the button right on the first day of Passover. They try to end it on the last day of Passover. College administrators let it go on for 8 days, just like how long Jews celebrate the Passover. Something's going on. What do you think?
Well, in terms of funding, you know, some really good people have done some really good research, and we know that George Soros is providing money through his many organizations. We know that pro-militant Islamic groups are providing funding through their organizations. We know this. But here's what begs the question, and that is, so I live in the Chicago suburbs, and if somebody right now today said, look, I'm going to provide you with a tent and Subway sandwiches, my favorite food, by the way, and a whole pack of Frescas, because I don't get to drink beer anymore. And all we need you to do is go to Northwestern University, find a building, lock yourself in with some other folks, break some things, and not let students go to class. If they said that to me, I'd say, gosh, I appreciate the offer, but no, thank you. Okay. So we can't blame the funders. The funders are providing money and items, objects of comfort, for people to facilitate the bad behavior. We have to blame behavior always on the behaving. And so we're right back to human nature. And I contend that this is nothing more than an opportunity for the id to be loose and for students to behave badly without consequence. They should, of course, all be expelled. At a minimum, they should all get failing grades. And to the extent that there are people that are not part of the school at all who are coming in as outside agitators, like members of Antifa, well, these people should be arrested. Some are. But here's a question. How much are we hearing about what happens to these people that are being arrested after they're arrested? I'm going to take the under on sort of the bet on how many are actually being, arraigned, charged, and not just dismissed with a fine. So we're right back to no
Brent,
consequence.
You mean to tell me there won't be summer-long hearings on insurrection and subversion and bigotry and hatred on college campuses? You're not going to see dog and pony shows in Congress investigating this? I'm shocked.
Well, only if they can find a way to tie it back to Donald Trump. In which
exactly.
case, I saw a clever meme the other day that said, when will Donald Trump's trial begin for tearing the tags off of pillows? And So our obsession with, applying the law harshly and strongly seems to be limited to our former president.
But, and it's all deliberate. It's all deliberate. The real protest sign is, as a friend of mine calls it, and anarcho-terrorism. I think it's anarcho-terrorism. It's anarchy for me and tyranny for you. We get to do whatever we want. There's two justice systems, one for you, for us, one for our enemies. That has become clear. That's been the message. Brent, I want to ask you about this. I don't know if this is current. My bio has you as co-founder of Common Ground Campus. How relevant is that with what's going on? Are you doing anything in direct to this, of what's been going on?
Well, so the program Common Ground Campus was created by my dear friend and colleague, Felissa Blazek. And what we do is we go to a college campus where we're invited to come in, where there's an issue on campus that is causing division. And we find students that are on both sides, if you will, of that issue, and we throw them up on stage. And then instead of debating the issue, in fact, no debating is actually allowed. What we do is we have students take turns articulating a particular concern or problem they see that's under that heading. And then through moderated discussion, we ask questions, we throw out ideas, and we try to find a way that all the students on stage can agree upon to address that other student's concern. In other words, to find common ground. Would we love to be on campuses addressing this issue? We sure would. Somebody's got to invite us.
Brent Hamacek, we were just getting started. I love the discussion about words and what they mean. Your book, Dissidently Speaking. Brent Hamacek, thank you so much for joining us. I hope to have you back soon, and we'll talk about that some more.
Thank you, Karen.
Well, yes, you're welcome. And boy, we're getting started. We're going to wrap up the hour with Lee Habib. I'll tell you about him and the story he's reporting right after this. Don't go away.
A new minimally invasive treatment option for prostate cancer shows successful outcomes without the side effects that often come with surgery or radiation. Prostate cancer affects 1 in 8 men in their lifetimes. The success of MRI-guided transurethral ultrasound ablation, TULSA, represents a revolution in whole-gland treatment for prostate cancer. Patients now have an alternative treatment option that has a favorable side effect profile compared to surgery, radiation, and thermal therapy. In the TULSA procedure, a small catheter-like device is inserted through the urethra into the prostate, where the tissue is heated, killing the cancer cells while protecting the sensitive nerves around the prostate. Dr. Stephen S. Raymond, professor of radiology, urology, and and surgery at the David Geffen School of Medicine at UCLA.
This image-guided therapy maximizes our ability to kill cancer cells while minimizing collateral damage to the prostate to achieve the ultimate trifecta in prostate cancer treatment, full local cancer control while maintaining urinary continence and potency.
For more information, go to sirmeeting.org, sponsored by Society of Interventional Radiology.
This report is sponsored by Amazon. Amazon is bringing back Amazon Pet Day on Tuesday, May 7th and Wednesday, May 8th in celebration of National Pet Month. Amazon Pet Day will offer 48 hours of deals across pets, home, electronics, and more. With thousands of products on deal, there's something for every pet companion, from food and treats to toys and clothing to habitats, electronics, cleaners, and more. Amazon will be bringing back customer favorite deals from Purina, Furbo, Petkit, and PetSafe, and offering savings from top brands like Frontline, Merrick, and Blue Buffalo, as well as small businesses like Bundle and Joy and Hopscotch Bun. Everyone can enjoy savings on Amazon Pet Day, whether customers are new or pro pet parents. Prime members can also get more everyday savings on pet essentials year-round and save money with exclusive deals, free delivery, buy with Prime, prescription savings, and quality entertainment. To shop for furry friends and scaly critters, mark your calendars for Amazon Pet Day on May 7th and May 8th and visit amazon.com/petday.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? By their clothes? Their age? The way they speak? Would you notice a 16-year-old boy who got his first job,
not for extra spending money, but to help feed his little sisters?
Or a mother who's in between jobs and sometimes goes to bed hungry so her kids can have dinner? Or a 14-year-old girl who signs up to every after-school activity not to make friends, but just to get something to eat? Or a retiree who fell ill and had to choose
between getting medicine or groceries.
I am the one in eight Americans who struggle with hunger. People you pass by every day but never knew were hungry. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America, 200 Food Banks Strong, and the Ad Council.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed, and they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover guitar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair, and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment.
This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all got to help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're going to be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And we're delighted to switch gears here a little bit. It's been nearly a month since New York City police officer Jonathan Diller and his funeral, the first New York City cop to lose his life in the line of duty in 2 years. Lee Habib is creator and host of Our American Stories, a podcast and weekly syndicated radio show. He also is vice president of content at Salem Media Group and co-founded Laura Ingraham's national radio show in 2001. Lee Habib, thank you so much for joining us here on the Alan Nathan Show.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us more about this fallen New York City police officer and what you are writing about it. What do we need to know about this in case people haven't heard about it and didn't know?
Well, you know, I think it got out into the media when he died, as these things do. It'll hit the media for like a minute or two, and then that's it. And they'll show a little clip from the funeral, like the outside, all the cops showing up, and that's wonderful. But we know Derek Chauvin's name, right? We know the bad cop. The whole country knows him, right? Everybody knows him. But we don't know Jonathan Dillard's. And so what we do at Our American Stories, and we're on every night, 2 hours a night, all over the country on radio stations. Our podcast is growing very quickly. And I think part of the reason is next week is National Police Week. National Police Week is a gathering in Washington, D.C., in which the fallen heroes are honored and celebrated. And so what we did with Our American Stories, and we're working closely with the police forces on this, the national police forces, is, hey, when there's a funeral, please send us the link, because we don't want to tell the story of Jonathan Diller. I want his wife to tell us the story. I want to bring people inside that church, not the picture from the outside, not the picture of the casket, not how he died, how he lived, who he was, why he was a cop, why he chose to be a police officer. And that's what we did with the Diller story. It'll be airing on our show next week. I wrote the piece in Newsweek. And I can tell you a little about him through his wife Stephanie's words. And Stephanie walked up to that podium in this beautiful little Catholic church in Massapequa Park, Long Island. And she had her one-year-old son, Ryan, being held by an officer at her side. So that picture alone, right? One-year-old son, the dad never got to know his son. The son never really will never get to know the dad. Heartbreaking, right?
So and tragic. Heartbreaking.
She starts off by saying, look, I know you now know the hero that Jonathan was, but let me tell you the hero he's always been to me and to my son. The world is just catching up, she said. By the way, he died investigating an illegally parked SUV in Rockaway. In the Rockaways in Queens. So it's proof again that the most mundane activity that we would think are mundane for officers, stopping that car, going over and asking him to roll that window down, which he did. Well, the guy rolled it down and opened fire on Jonathan Diller and his partner, and the bullet lodged just beneath his vest. And by the time he got to Jamaica Hospital, he was pronounced dead. And so what Stephanie did was walk us through, all of us who watched, all of us who were there, who her husband was. And she described how they met, the courtship. It was just beautiful. And then she talked about her love, how they met, how they wed, the funeral, the wedding date was so close to the funeral date. And then she talked about the simple life they were living and how proud she was and how proud he was of being a cop. She said he was exceptional at it. He would go in early, stay late, work overtime because he just loved it. Hmm. It was no surprise he was an incredible police officer, she said, because he was an incredible man. And then came the killer. And it was simply this. There was she said, it's our lives were pretty much perfect until 5 days ago when everything changed forever. Huh. He was called into duty, and in typical Jonathan fashion, he didn't run away. He did what was right, and he did what he loved. He wasn't the type to sugarcoat anything, so I won't sugarcoat this. This is devastating. It's a senseless, tragic loss for so many. Our family, our friends, and the entire city of New York, it's a shame that someone who brought so much positivity and joy to the world was given such a negative ending. And it's just that you could see grown men behind her just weeping.
Crying.
It's very devastating. Devastating.
What strikes me, Lee Habib, who we're talking to right now, is the service that you're doing here. I know you don't want the accolades, but you're doing such an important service, maybe more than you realize, I don't know, in personalizing this individual, making him human. Part of what we're watching that is so heartbreaking that has escalated these disrespect and murder of cops more than we've ever seen in our lifetimes, and so many other people who are being diminished into, I was talking about this earlier in the show, into a member of a group, defund the police. And on it goes, that people forget that these are human beings with lives and children and wives and stories. So to tell their story is so important, and hopefully can, I don't know, with enough, massive getting your message out there, turning this around and understanding that people are individuals, not just members of a group. Go ahead. We still have a minute.
Her closing words were just that, it's hard to imagine. She just says it's hard to imagine I'll ever see him again, but I know I will in heaven. And it ended beautifully, too, the storytelling, just beautifully.
Yeah. Where can we see this podcast? Is it video or just audio?
It's audio. We have an audio-only podcast. You can go to Our American Stories. Just type in Our American Stories, and it'll come up on Apple, iHeart Podcast, whoever, wherever you get your podcast. Yeah. That's where you can find it.
Yeah. Lee Habib, we're going to have to actually, I'm always jumping the gun here. I have another 30 seconds. What do you want to leave us with?
Just, there are 700,000 folks out there in America defending us. That's cops, sheriffs, federal agents. They're overwhelmingly good and decent people, and they're good men and women who go to work each day to protect and serve. And sometimes they don't come home.
Well, not sometimes. These are people who are standing in harm's way to protect the rest of us. My husband still has a Thin Blue Line bumper sticker on the back of his car because we support. Yep. That is the Thin Blue Line between us and complete chaos, and those are the people that are called to protect the rest of us. Thank you so much, Lee Habib. Can't wait to have you on again soon. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Well, we're going to take a quick top of the hour break, and when we come back, we're going to have a whole nother hour of the Al and Nathan Show. Don't go away. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Main Street Radio Network.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.